friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moweta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
Honey, good evening, Sonny.
Boxing fans looking forward to a rematch this weekend in Las Vegas, Nnamdi. Deontay Wilder against Tyson Fury.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners will remember their first fight back in December 2018 ended in a controversial split decision draw. Tyson Fury has a new trainer for the rematch, Nnamdi. How will that affect the fight?
Well, Sonny, he brought in Javon Sugar Hill Stewart. And Javon Sugar Hill Stewart is the nephew of one of boxing's greatest trainer, in Emmanuel Stewart, of the Kronk Gym in Detroit. Tyson Fury fired the trainer that took him to that first fight, Ben Davidson, and then bringing in a new trainer to go for this crucial match. We in the boxing game don't understand it.
Who is this new trainer, Nnamdi? Has he been involved in a fight of this magnitude?
He's never trained anybody on this level. And all he had going for him was hanging around Emmanuel Stewart when Tyson Fury came out to train years ago. He has not developed any fighter. He has not stepped on the big stage. So that's a decision. We in the game think he's going to come and haunt Tyson Fury during the fight.
Tyson Fury predicting a second round knockout and that he will come forward against Deontay Wilder. Your thoughts, Nnamdi?
That would be the dumbest move he will make because, one, the reason why he went to the Kronk style of boxing with Javon Stewart is he wants to go for the knockout. He's not known to be a knockout artist or a puncher. If he decides he wants to go there and mix it up with the best puncher in the world today, then he's going to end up being laid out cold. This is not a referee counting to 1 million, giving him time to get up this time around because Deontay's putting on some weight too. If Deontay drops him, he's not going to get up. So if he decides to go there and stand and go toe-to-toe with a puncher, that would be dumb strategy, Sonny.
What will happen to the Gypsy King Fury, Nnamdi, if this fight goes into the later rounds?
Well, that's the more reason why he wants to end the fight quickly. He does not believe in the judges will give him a fair shake if he goes into the later round. But, you know, you have to understand something, too. In his last fight against Otto Wallin, he got busted up, Sonny. You remember that? He ended up with 40-something stitches, you know. What happened if Deontay Wilder goes for that eye in the first round and drop that big bomb? It will be all bloody right there, and he may not be able to see. If he goes for the knockout, he's going to stand right there and exchange. He does not have the power, Sonny.
You mentioned all those stitches that Fury had over his eye, Nnamdi. Do you see Deontay Wilder targeting that area?
Oh, come on, Sonny. That should be the first target. The first left jab should go to that eye. And if he's able to establish the jab to the eye in the first round and then drop the right hand on it, with a monster right hand on it, the fight may not even go 3 rounds. So a good puncher would target that eye. That would be the strategy. Go in right there, stay right there in front of him, go for that eye and break it down.
You mentioned that this fight might not go 3 rounds, Nnamdi. In fact, Deontay Wilder predicting a third round knockout. Do you think that's more likely than Fury's second round knockout prediction?
Well, Sonny, it depends on what Fury wants to do. If Fury wants to come in there and dance and hold and grab and clown, yeah, it could go 10 rounds. It could even go 12 rounds. But if Fury decides to say, look, I'm going to take you out because I don't believe in the judges, I'm going to shoot for the knockouts and square up with him, Fury will not last 2 rounds, Sonny. He's going to use a common sense fight and fight smart. If he does not fight smart, and to have somebody in the corner who has not really been in that stage, all he did was being a gym rat with his uncle, I don't think that's really the help at all, because the same thing he did from the first fight, if he brings it to the second fight, he'll survive. But if he change, you want to bring the Kronk style, the Motor City Cobra style, the Hitman Tommy Hearns style from Detroit, then he'll get up knocked out cold.
Do you think Deontay learned some things from their first fight, Namdi?
Well, Deontay claimed the first fight he had hand problem, you know. And if you remember, too, it took him a while to really get going. He was all confused. Even in this second fight, Deontay decides to use the jab. Mind you, the jab is the key there. With the jab setting up the big right hand, nobody can touch this guy. If he's able to come out, establish that left jab, and then put the combinations together and drop that uppercut and all that, I don't see Tyson Fury hanging around that long. So who has made the adjustments? Both guys have made adjustments. But the adjustment on the Tyson Fury part is what we don't understand, because the adjustment is coming in for the knockout and press for the knockout. If he's coming in to dance and make it smooth and walk away with a unanimous decision, then that makes sense. Adjusting to come and get slaughtered on the big stage, it's not smart at all, Sonny.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi on Thursday's show.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitchell Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Countdown continues for the Tokyo Olympics, the year's biggest international sporting event. We're now 156 days away to the multi-sports jamboree in Japan. Uganda did not win a medal at the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. As we look forward to Tokyo 2020, one Ugandan athlete with an excellent chance of getting on the Olympic podium in Japan is Joshua Cheptegei. The 23-year-old Cheptegei had an excellent 2019. Joshua won a world title at 10,000 meters on the track in Doha, as well as a gold medal in the senior men's race at the World Cross Country Championships in Denmark. And the year before that, in 2018, Cheptegei certainly had a Commonwealth Games to remember in Australia, where he won gold medals at both 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters. With the Tokyo Games now just more than 5 months away, Joshua Cheptegei is in fine form. He set a new 5-kilometer road world record on Sunday in Monaco, where he clocked 12 minutes and 51 seconds. Magume Davis Rakawinj has reaction for us now from Kampala, Uganda.
According to the Runner's World website, Cheptegei attacked the pace from the gun, breaking away from the field with an opening kilometers of 2 minutes 31 seconds and held a pace of between 2 minutes and 35 seconds before eventually completing at a sprint of 2 minutes and 32 seconds.
I can say I'm really more excited and I'm really happy about it and I'm delighted. Of course, I'm honored to come to Monaco and run a world record. It's really a great feeling.
Francis Jimmy Gracia finished second and set a new European record of 13 minutes and 18 seconds, while British Nick Gulab finished third. The Ghanaian runner produced one of the finest performances and became the third man in history to win both the 5,000 meters and 10,000 double at the Commonwealth Games. Cheptegei went on to crush the game's record to claim the 10,000 meters gold at the Doha World Championships.
For sure, I'm really unstoppable, and I've been winning race after race from the beginning of 2019. After the setback of the national cross country where I became second, of course, I went to the world cross country where I won the gold, and then from there to the Diamond League champion, from there to Doha, from Doha to the world record of 10K. And now the 5K world record.
He attributes his success to discipline and hard work. Cheptegei trains in his homeland, Kapchorwa, that stands at an altitude of 2,573 meters above sea level, where he will be based as he trains for this year's Olympic Games. In 2016, he participated in the Rio de Janeiro Olympic Games, where he placed 8th and 6th in 5,000 meters and 10,000 finals respectively. Cheptegei says he believes he can do better this time around.
I don't want to put a lot of expectations in from the fans, of course, out there, but just know that I'm really good at doing my best and I won't disappoint. If I'm feeling good and healthy, I can, of course, bring the title home, and that would be my joy, to make you guys happy and make our country proud.
Joshua Cheptegei's hard work and success has been recognized both locally and internationally. Last year, he was nominated for the Male World Athlete of the Year by the International Association of Athletics Federation, or IAAF, an accolade that was won by his East African compatriot, Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. The Athletics Federation of Nigeria says it has set a target of 2 gold medals at the Tokyo Olympic Games. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the federation's president, Ibrahim Gusau.
We're qualified in some events, and then there are some events that we're yet to qualify. So we're working hard to see Nigeria is qualified in those events. So we're working hard, I can tell you, and I believe we have the athletes that will qualify us for that. And then taking it further, of course, it's not only appearing in the Olympics. We have what we want to achieve, and I've set that as a goal, which at an earlier meeting with the ministry, we informed them our target. I'm sure you are aware that of all federations, the Athletics Federation of Nigeria is the only federation that has produced 2 gold medals and, of course, a couple of silvers and bronze. But the 2 gold medals are in different Olympics. In each of the Olympic, we got a gold medal and, you know, not more than that. So our target for this Olympic is to have the minimum of 2 gold medals in 1 Olympic. And I think it's achievable. We have the athletes. We're trying our best to see how these athletes are supported to achieve that feat.
Talking about the welfare of athletes, what is it that the federation has done to motivate the athletes, to keep them in shape and to ensure that they are focused for the Olympic Games?
I can tell you we're trying to put things together to see the motivation you are talking about. We're talking to corporate organizations, and of course, because it's an international event, we expect that all hands will be on deck for the motivation to happen. But I assure you, the athletes are in high morale, and what we've told them is convincing enough that they will see the motivation coming. And not only that, you know, aside from the motivation, we're trying as much as possible to see them participate in different meets so that will put them in shape. And of course, we have a flexibility between the camping and the appearance in different meets so that will put them in shape and in the best form for the Olympic medal.
Apart from the all-commerce athletics competition that your federation has organized, do you have plans for other events or programs or athletic championships to put these athletes in top shape for the Olympic Games?
No, definitely. Like I said to you, we know those athletes that have qualified for some events. We already know them. And you know, qualification window closes around June, July. Okay. So we still have a window. and this window, we will have meets where we'll send these athletes. Like I said to you earlier, there are qualifications that, for example, in the relays, we need qualifications in the relays. So we're working hard to see which meets our athletes will participate to qualify for the relays and, of course, put them in shape. That will be part of the training for the Olympic appearance.
That's Ibrahim Gusau, the president of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Ozoro, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. Yes. This is Honorable Ibrahim Shehu Gusau, President, Athletics Federation of Nigeria, President, ECOWAS Region 2 Athletics, Vice President, Africa, CAA. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Reigning European club football champion Liverpool will need to rally against Atletico Madrid after losing Tuesday in Spain in a first leg round of 16 match. Joining us with more details is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Despite going into Tuesday's Champions League match as the underdogs, Atletico Madrid dominated visiting Liverpool with an early first-half goal from Spanish midfielder Sal Niguez and defended superbly to shut down the European champions 1-0. And after the match, Atletico coach Diego Simeone said it was a night he won't forget.
No, la mejor porque no te da ningún título. Pero emocionante.
Simeon says it's not the best night because we didn't get a title, but it was exciting. There are certain nights that are unforgettable, and today is one of those nights that people won't forget. The best team in the world comes after winning a ton of matches, and you can beat them. We haven't gotten through, but we were able to beat them because in a match, everyone has their chances. Simeone was also quick to point out that the raucous fans who surrounded Wanda Metropolitano Stadium had as much to do with the win as his team's defensive style of play.
Empezamos ganando el partido cuando en la rotonda.
Simeone says we started winning the match as soon as we turned the corner on the bus and saw a ton of enthusiastic, hopeful, and ambitious people who weren't afraid. And from then on, I think something beautiful woke up in the team that football has. If we must suffer, we will suffer together. And obviously, to be a block between the people and the squad. Liverpool are on course for a record-smashing title win in the Premier League, thanks in part to the attacking trifecta of Sadio Mane, Roberto Firmino, and Mohamed Salah. But on Tuesday, Atletico's defense left no space for Liverpool to score, and the Reds missed a series of chances to equalize in the second half. During the match, manager Jurgen Klopp substituted Sadio Mane for fear the Senegalese forward would be sent off. And afterwards, Klopp confirmed that he withdrew Mane as a precaution.
It's obviously part of football. I don't like that. Obviously, the plan was tonight get Sadio out of the game with a yellow card and then impossible. I was a little afraid that his opponent would go down now, even if Sadio only takes a deep breath or whatever. So, and then I didn't want to have that situation. So that's why we took him off.
Liverpool will now need to summon a comeback when they return home to Anfield next month if they hope to defend their Champions League title. But with only a one-goal deficit to overturn, Jurgen Klopp says he's ready for the challenge, and he sent a clear message to Atletico fans ahead of the second leg.
I'm not disappointed while we played. I saw much worse games in my life. It was absolutely okay, how I said. We were not good enough in the last third. That's it. And No, I was not. I didn't expect that we will have around about 70% possession. I actually thought, Atletico will have a little bit more of the game, but that's, we are not surprised. 1-0 being up, you're not in the best moment, so you try to defend it with all you have. And that's what they did, obviously. That's absolutely okay. I respect that a lot. But of course, how can I sit here? It's only 1-0. So it's not this, we are not 5-0 down or whatever. We think we have a chance. We don't think it will be easy, not at all, because Atletico will have back João Félix probably, Diego Costa in different circumstances. We have to see who we can line up, because until then can happen a lot of games. But as long as we can get 11 players in a Liverpool shirt, we will try it with all we have. And for all Atletico fans who can get a ticket for the game, welcome to Anfield.
And the welcome mat will be rolled out on March 11th at Anfield, where Liverpool fans will be waiting. In other Tuesday Champions League action, Borussia Dortmund defeated Paris Saint-Germain 2-1 in the first leg of their round of 16 meeting. Their second leg match will also be played on March 11th. PSG will need a win to avoid elimination in the round of 16 for the fourth year in a row. And that is all from me for now. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Earlier in the show, we heard from Ugandan runner Joshua Cheptegei, who will be one of the athletes to watch at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Another athlete to watch in Tokyo is the 20-year-old pole vaulter Armand Mondo Duplantis, who was born in the United States but represents Sweden in international competition. Like Cheptegei, Mondo has been in record-breaking form recently. Twice in the span of a week, Mondo broke the indoor world record for the pole vault. 4 days ago, Mondo easily cleared 6 meters 18 at the Glasgow Indoor Grand Prix meet in Scotland. Mondo looked like he had quite a bit of room to spare when he went over the bar.
All of my best jumps feel easy. So the jump felt easy, but that doesn't necessarily mean I think that I made the bar so easy. You know, I know I didn't touch the bar, but you never know when you're going to have the perfect jump or when, you know, you're going to jump higher again. You know, sometimes I jumped 6:05 in Berlin, and then it took me a whole over a year to PR again. So you never know when you're going to have a PB, and, you know, you're going to be better than you were the day before. So I don't take it for granted, being able to, you know, accomplish a new personal best.
In accomplishing another new personal best, as well as another world indoor record, Mondo realizes the expectations are also getting higher and higher.
I know the expectations that people have of me, and I understand that the pressure that people try to put on me, and they expect great things out of me. They expect me to do all this stuff, but it's not really something that I think I should really think too hard about, because it kind of is out of my control. I mean, it's in my control in the sense of I can perform well and do things like that, but I'm only human. I'm only human, so I can only do as much as I can do. And I'm going to do everything I can do, but I don't know how much that is.
That's Armand Mondo Duplantis, the world indoor record holder in the pole vault. And it'll be very interesting to see how Mondo does at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Mondo definitely has a good family athletic background. His American father, Greg, was a top pole vaulter, and his Swedish mother, Helena, was also an athlete. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the February 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer PJ Elliott. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you the biggest stories of the day. Our global correspondents report the news objectively and comprehensively, keeping you informed about important world events. International Edition provides analysis from the most seasoned experts around the world to put the day's events into context to better understand what's happening and how it may affect you. Listen to International Edition Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 Universal Time on the Voice of America or your local affiliate. You can also listen to the show on demand by visiting the program page at voanews.com or by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. VOA's International Edition, your go-to source for accurate, comprehensive, and objective news.